What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Progressive Gentleman Podcast. As always, we're your hosts. I'm Dan.
I'm Matt.
And thank you for taking the time to nerd out about music with us. We are bringing back another favorite of ours, the Artist Spotlight episodes. And we had asked in a poll, I think it was a poll. I don't really remember. Maybe it was a post. I think it was a poll. You know, what bands should we do an artist spotlight for next? And we got a lot of responses, some call outs too. Shout out to the person who challenged us to do After the Burial, because In Dreams is such a superior record. And, you know, they just wanted me to confirm that on an episode.
I think they called you out to say that it's not the best.
Oh, that's what it was. Damn. Well, we're not doing that today, though we will do that, I promise.
That is a good one.
It is a good one. But one of the suggestions was one that I feel like was low-hanging fruit for us for a while, and I'm kind of surprised it took us that long, this long to do it.
I honestly, like, whenever we saw the suggestion, I was like, how did we not think of this?
Right, like, because this is a band that we've been jamming for a while who was, you know, they were on our album of the year list for their most recent record. I think, was it our album of the year? It was probably mine.
It was yours, and it was second for me.
Yeah, so
Bola's Witness.
Ah, that's right. It's my number one. But Delta Sleep. So how? I mean, this is a band that has quickly become one of my favorite bands, if not my favorite band, through these last probably, I don't know, we'll say 5 years. And there's just something so unique about their sound that just really, I don't know. In sort of how my musical tastes have progressed over the years, like, they are just perfectly catered to what I'm looking for anymore in music.
Their music is just like, it's so versatile, and I feel like it's actually like, my dad doesn't really listen to the music that I listen to, but this is a band that I could put on and he's like, oh, who is this? And he like never remembers the name. But he always is like intrigued. And he's like, I like this. Who is this? And so it's like so versatile, but and so good, but it still like scratches that like prog math rock itch.
For sure. And I agree, especially their like most recent couple records. Like, it's definitely something I feel like I could show my dad as well, and he would actually enjoy it. Very approachable for sure. Which, you know, that's not necessarily something we look for in music as prog heads, right? But
yeah.
But it is nice whenever you find something that sort of, you know, scratches the itch for it, that you can put on and like not feel like you're offending everybody or anybody that's around you.
Not getting the side eye from everybody. I'm like, oh, this guy, they gave him the aux cord. And
because that's one thing that is always a challenge whenever it's like, you know, if I'm with family at the beach or something and someone's like, you know, Dan, go ahead and put something on. I tend to gravitate towards trying to pick a lot of like 80s rock or like 90s rock, like grunge stuff. Cause like, you know, that's stuff that I know, you know, some of the people that I'm with would actually enjoy. Yeah. Or like some pop stuff too, just because, you know, that's like easy listening. Option. Yeah. But Delta Sleep, I feel like, is a band, especially their newer stuff, that I could go and put on and like not offend the masses. So, so I do like that about them, but, I kind of want to preface sort of this artist spotlight with the fact that, you know, I discovered Delta Sleep around Ghost City. And that's the time that around the time I introduced them to you as well. So like we kind of came in the middle,
yeah,
and then worked our way backwards. So that's kind of how we've discovered Delta Sleep's music. A lot of our opinions and analysis and stuff like that is probably going to reflect that. Like our opinions on their discography will probably differ from somebody who maybe became a fan like in the management era and then sort of worked forward. I liken it a lot to like, and again, I had a little hiatus from mentioning Coheed and Cambria in every episode. And I'm kind of like back on that bandwagon, but, I liken it to like Coheed fans who started in the second stage era and worked forward versus Coheed fans who sort of came in after the big three records and worked their way back, because you can always tell when a Coheed fan became a fan, because if they're like hardcore coveting Second Stage versus like putting Second Stage like middle to bottom of their discography. Like if you're putting Second Stage middle to bottom of their discography, it's probably because you became a fan later.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I definitely think like when you get into a band kind of determines a little bit what your like how you rank their albums. Like you can kind of get a different lens and you expect a certain sound if your first album is X. You know, you start to expect, like, well, this is what they're going to sound like. And then when you go to a previous album, it's like, oh, this isn't what I expected.
And that's honestly how I feel about Delta Sleep. So, like, coming in through Ghost City and being a major fan of that record was, like, the soundtrack of my summer the year that I got married. And, like, my bachelor party and all that stuff, like, we listened to that a lot. And,
it is a very good summer album.
It is. Sure. It is. And it's interesting because, I mean, we'll talk about that later. But yeah, like, actually, I'll just put a lot of this on hold for when we talk about Ghost City. But like, you know, the sound, their specific sound on Ghost City is kind of like the sound I feel like they've cultivated moving forward, because Spring Island has a lot of that sound as well. So going back and listening to a record like Management, which is their first record, I think it's kind of an EP, kind of a record. There's like 7 songs. It's 30 minutes long.
Yeah. It's like kind of like Fringe. Yeah.
So, when you go back after, you know, as a person who discovered them on Ghost City, going back to Management, I did not expect the level of harsh vocals that exist on that record. I did not sort of expect how, you know, that raw sort of post-hardcore sound. So it's a very big contrast from, you know, where we came into the fold versus like where they actually started. So I wouldn't be surprised if there were people who became fans of Delta Sleep in the Management era who maybe aren't as high on like Ghost City, if like that was the sound that they preferred. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause if you came in like expecting the sort of like post-hardcore, like more harsh vocal stuff, and they went away from that, then you might have like sort of fell off of listening to Delta Sleep, or just keep listening to Management on repeat and not be as into where they've gone.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of why I want to preface this, because as we go through their discography and talk a little bit about their music and the evolution of their sound, you know, our opinions may differ, probably just because, you know, the sound, the Delta Sleep that we discovered versus, you know, what their sound is on Management, two very different bands, basically, almost. So,
yeah,
just take that with a grain of salt as we walk through here. So Management, since we started talking there, we might as well start there and work our way up. So very raw record. A lot heavier hardcore, post-hardcore influence, like we said. It's probably their heaviest record.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
I said this earlier too, like, more harsh vocals on this record than the rest of their discography combined. And it's their shortest record. So that says a lot about sort of how they've evolved. Definitely songs like 1640 AM and So Say We All. I think that really showcases sort of a lot of that heavy sound. But yeah, I was very surprised to see how much post-hardcore, hardcore instrumental influence existed on this record. And I really did sort of comp it to sort of Second Stage in a way, because that was the scene that Coheed was coming up in. I don't really know much about the scene that Delta Sleep was coming up in, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was like a lot of that post-hardcore, hardcore scene. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, those were the gigs they were getting and they sort of wrote to cater to that audience. And I could very much see sort of day one Delta Sleep fans like coveting this record.
Yeah. And I do think like it is in like a kind of a weird spot for that first album, because it is like very post-hardcore, but it still has the like math rocky like foundations that they have kept. So it's like not a complete, you know, course correction or anything, but it is like this sort of like weird mix of the two genres, and it's like definitely different than.
Yeah, like you can hear, like, going back from, again, like we said, we started with Ghost City and went back, like, you can hear sort of the diamond in the rough of, like, what will eventually become their sound in this record. Especially, like, you know, this is the record that we get our first iteration of Camp Adventure, and it's a duet version, the original version, and, you know, that become, in my opinion, that becomes one of their most popular songs. Probably The Twin Galaxies version is probably a little bit more popular, but, you know, we hear sort of a nugget of what becomes ultimately their sound throughout the rest of their discography. It's there. And I think it just takes, you know, as they move forward, they grind off a little bit of that edge, that exists on that, in that record. And sort of smooth it out and sort of fully cultivate what eventually becomes their sound on their newer records. But yeah, I mean, I want to touch on the Camp Adventure a little bit too, because that is kind of one of my favorite Delta Sleep. It's honestly one of my favorite songs, period.
It is such a good song.
And it's interesting to hear it, because the first version I ever heard of it was the Twin Galaxies version, which we'll touch on here in a bit, but it's interesting hearing it as a duet, because it's very much sort of like a song about like lost love, you know, like working at something real hard, but eventually, you know, just not being able to work it out. And, you know, on Twin Galaxies, it's a, you know, it's just, Devin, where in Management, it's a duet. And it gives it like a completely different emotional feel. Cause like on the Twin Galaxies version, it's just like, you know, he tried real hard and it didn't work out. And, you know, he'll always miss, you know, he'll always remember and dream and think and of this person and whatever. And then on the duet version, it's like both of them tried real hard and both of them will always remember and whatever. And it's like, so it gives you a different vibe. To get emotional on the Progressive Gentleman podcast, but you know, it's just, it gives it a completely different vibe.
Yeah. The duet one is just kind of like, hey, we both gave it our all in this relationship, just, you know, didn't work out. And, you know, we both still care for one another, but we're just going to part ways and accept that like our relationship just doesn't work. And then when it's like not a duet, then it feels like it's
one-sided.
Yeah, that it's just kind of like, oh, I lost this person. Like, it feels more like loss and less like, oh, we'll just part ways. Like, we both care about each other, but...
Yeah, like, singular loss versus mutual loss is, like, a very different emotional trigger, I feel like. So,
yeah.
It's interesting. And so that being the first iteration of that song, I mean, it's cool to see how that sort of evolved. And again, we kind of did it in the reverse. I'd be really intrigued to know what, you know, someone who discovered them on Management, how they feel about sort of the progression and the change in that song. But yeah, very raw record. You know, that post-hardcore meets like, you know, the Chon style, like, riffs blended in there. The math rock still exists in there, with all the heavy vocals and all that stuff. Like we said, more than the rest of their discography. It's definitely an interesting listen, and an interesting sort of start to their discography. And then they move from Management to Twin Galaxies, which to me is like the perfect bridge record from Management and Ghost City. Like, if you were a fan of Management, and that was your preferred sound, like, Twin Galaxies is probably still a record that you enjoyed. You know what I mean?
Like, it still has some of the elements there. It's like not a complete departure. Although I feel like the jump between these two albums is the biggest. Like, just from the fact that they like kind of lost a lot of the like sort of post-hardcore elements and kind of got more into the like their current sound. So I feel like the jump is more there, but there's, like you said, still a lot of that elements there. So like, you know, I would imagine it wouldn't have lost a lot of people who jumped on with Management.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
it's
riding the progression.
it's definitely a change. It's definitely a jump. I mean, the jump from Twin Galaxies to Ghost City is pretty large too. Twin Galaxies starts off pretty heavy too, like Uncle Ivan and 21 Letters, specifically like the end of 21 Letters.
Yeah, that's
are true. Very like heavy post-hardcore influence. So it's almost like, and then I feel like it does sort of slowly, like gradually as that record goes, and you know, ultimately ending with the version of Camp Adventure. I do think it slowly trends toward where they start to head with Ghost City. And, you know, sort of sandwiched in the middle of that record is, you know, Spy Dolphin and Lake Sprinkle Sprankle, which I hilarious names, by the way. And my gamer tag is a Spy Dolphin variant. I very much like, I like that very much. So
a beer by Dancing Gnome.
Yeah. Shout out Dancing Gnome Brewing. Here in Pittsburgh, they have several Delta Sleep inspired beers. But yeah,
my favorite one.
It is. It's the best one. Spy Dolphin's the best one. They had a Ghost City like lager, and then I think they had like a Camp Adventure Red at one point too.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't see that one.
But yeah, I mean, sandwiched in the middle of this journey of a record are Spy Dolphin and Lake Sprinkle Sprankle, which I think are perfect sort of blends of the old and the new, like the management sound meets the sort of Ghost City Spring Island sound.
That is true. Yeah, it does. It kind of starts off heavier. And then, like you said, it ends with Camp Adventure. So it does kind of, it is like that sort of transitional phase of like the beginning part. So like, if you listen to them in, you know, chronological order, you would kind of get progressively softer as Twin Galaxies goes on into Ghost Cities.
Yeah, so I think like, and yeah, I it's tough for me because Spy Dolphin and Camp Adventure and Lake Sprinkle Sprankle, like these songs are some of my favorite Delta Sleep songs, period. But you know, discovering them on Ghost City, really falling in love with that sound, and then Spring Island being the masterpiece that it is, like, it's tough to decide what sound I like more, because it is still very different than, like, Twin Galaxies is still very different than Ghost City and Spring Island.
Yeah.
That's why I almost think, like, the jump from Twin Galaxies to Ghost City might even be, like, it might even be a similar jump as the one from Management to Twin Galaxies, just in the sense of, like, it, like Ghost City to me just seems like a porch drinking record, like you would say, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And, where Twin Galaxies, if you put that on, you know, there's still the possibility of offending somebody with like Uncle Ivan or like, you know, a couple of the little bit heavier.
Yeah. Like, you know, may not be, it might be a little too heavy for grandparents. Dad.
But I mean, overall, I think, you know, coming from like a heavier music background, like Twin Galaxies for me really sort of scratches the itch of heavy meets, you know, prog rock, math rock. So I do like that record. I think at the end we'll probably try to come up with an order of like which records, and I think you already know yours pretty definite. And for me, it's like there's a toss-up for a couple of these records that, and Twin Galaxies is one of them because it's got some of the strongest tracks in Delta Sleep's discography. But then some of these other records are a little more nostalgic and stuff for me. And yeah. I don't know. And
that is tough. That is it's a tough thing. But
moving on to, I think, their sort of biggest change in sound. And that's Ghost City. Like, I think this is the record where they fully established this is who we are now, in my opinion. This is the first one that I feel like I can come up with a defined subject matter. Like this record is very much seemingly thematically about like our addiction to technology. And I think that sort of that theme is found throughout this record. Again, very much like a porch drinking record, very much like an easy listening, like defined a summer for me, where, you know, I spent a lot of time outdoors hiking and you know, kayaking, whitewater rafting, things like that. And this was the record I was listening to while doing all of that. So I don't know if it's because of the sort of the sound cultivated on this record that lends to that, or if it's just me nostalgically remembering that that's what I was doing while listening to this record. But I very much associate this record with, like, you know, being outdoors, summer, like.
Yeah, this, honestly, this is probably the album that my wife and I listened to the most. Like, I think you were talking about Delta Sleep to me and got me to listen to them. And that was like during the pandemic. So we're like not going anywhere. So it was just kind of like sitting out on our back deck and, you know, in the summer and just kind of like enjoying some fresh air and then listening to all Delta Sleep, but a lot of this album, because it does, like, I don't know, it gives me that feel too of like, it's very like summery, sort of like chill, like just kind of gives you like that feel good.
Yeah. And I love, like, you know, things that prog bands and math rock bands and things of that nature do is like bring back themes across the record and, like, you know, repeat themes musically. And like, there's a lot of that in Ghost City, you know, between like Sultans of Ping and After Image. And like, there's just like, they bring back certain riffs and stuff like that in different, and they do that on like Spring Island as well. And, they might even do it in Twin Galaxies. I just don't know if I've ever picked it up, but that's something that I first noticed in Ghost City. And, it's a big Coheed thing to do. I mean, that's a big progressive music thing to do in general. And, you know, I feel like this album flows really well. It's a lot sort of more chill than their first two, for sure. But, you know, I discovered them around the same time I was listening to a lot of, like, Act 4 and 5 by the Deer Hunter. And then we just recently saw them tour with the Deer Hunter. So it was, like, kind of cool to have that, like, full circle situation happen. Because this, it's cool, a band... Yeah. It's a band that is tough for me to sort of give comps to because, you know, they do a lot of stuff that I think is relatively unique to them, but, you know, they don't really fit in the prog rock box. Obviously they lean more math rock. But that's probably the closest you can get. So it's like, okay, well then a band like Deer Hunter or a band like Covet, kind of, but not really. Like, it's tough to sort of find bands, yeah, to comp them to. Like, I showed them to, because I was curious, so like I showed them to like some people that I work with, right, who don't listen to this type of stuff, and I was like, what do you think this sounds like? And they said like a lot of punk bands they named.
Yeah,
like even like Blink 182 I think someone said, like,
oh wow.
Which is interesting. But then I listened to a couple songs off of, what the hell is that album? The one with the, like, hold on, stand by. I'm looking this up real quick. But, like, I listened to some songs off of a specific Blink album, not one of their, like, most popular ones, Neighborhoods. And there were a couple songs on there where I was like, okay, I can cut, like, Natives off of Neighborhoods. Like, I could see... And like Heart's All Gone, like I can see a semi comp there. So, yeah, even some like punk influence. And then when we were talking to the guys at the one show that we saw them at, like they listened to a lot of sort of like rap, R&B, things like that are like, is what they're listening to on the side. So then it's interesting to see how that influence maybe leaks in a little bit, but maybe with some of the grooves, but not really like, you know, like vocally or lyrically or anything like that. But I mean, it's just interesting, sort of the, you know, when you try to comp a band or like, you know, figure out what this band reminds you of, everybody usually, like whenever you listen to a band like this, that's sort of very eclectic, very different. It's always interesting to hear what other people have to say about like, what do you think about this? Like, I even like to ask Steph, like my wife, about that kind of stuff too, because her musical journey is very different than mine. So like oftentimes she'll throw out like some 90s band or some like pop influence, or she was big into the emo scene. So it's always interesting to hear like bands from that scene thrown out there. Like, I forget what band I was showing her the other day, but she said like Motion City Soundtrack or something for, it was just, it's interesting. Like,
yeah. It's, I feel like there's not like, at least of bands that I know, I don't like have a good direct comparison. So it is like just matching sort of little bits and pieces of their sound to bits and pieces of other bands of like, oh, well, this one part of this one song kind of sounds vaguely like this one part of this other band's song. And,
yeah,
which I think
sure.
speaks to like how unique their sound is.
Yeah. And I think like Ghost City complements well, like some of the things that the Deer Hunter were doing on like Act 4 and 5.
Yeah.
And so like, if you're sort of listening to bands that are, you know, in that prog rock vein, I feel like Ghost City is definitely a record that you would enjoy. And again, a huge departure from that sound between Management and then even Twin Galaxies. So that's why I think going back and listening to those records kind of the way that we had to do, since that's how we discovered them, was such like an interesting sort of thing to do on our side, because, you know, anytime you go back and say, wow, is this the same band?
Yeah.
You know, it's always interesting. So it's definitely cool. I wish I had discovered them in the Management era and got to see sort of that progression and like maybe had a better understanding of where they came from and all that stuff with that original sound, but definitely happy to see sort of the end result. And moving forward, we usually don't talk about records that aren't like studio records.
Yeah.
Whenever we do these, but I wanted to talk about Soft Sounds. So Soft Sounds, they dropped it in 2020, and this was sort of like a rediscovered, reimagining type of record. Similar to like how the Contortionist did like that Language Rediscovered, where they had like 3 or 4 songs at the end of that like special edition, where it was just like a reimagining of songs that already existed on the record. Soft Sounds is kind of like that for Delta Sleep, but it's an entire record, and they kind of took it one step further, which I think was a lot, which was really cool.
Yeah, I think there's a like a cool premise to the album, in addition to like, even though it's songs you've already heard by them, is like the whole like gimmick behind it is really cool.
Yeah, and that gimmick is kind of like, as they were traveling around and touring, you know, on their days off, they would go to like places in these areas and sort of set up just sort of a makeshift recording type rig type situation and record a reimagined version of a song. And there's an accompanying video with each one. And so you can actually see them sort of, you know, what they're using and what they're doing to record this stuff. And, you know, they're in Texas, they're in front of some barn somewhere, they're sitting in a park, you know, a crowded park, they're on a crowded street in Japan, they're on a bridge late at night in Japan, they're in a boat, like floating in the middle of the ocean around like the Turkey region. Like, it's just crazy and really cool to see, you know, them reimagine these songs with minimal equipment. Very minimal recording equipment, especially, but like, you know, I think they're using like synths on their phones, maybe like a drum pad thing on their phone. I know like they had one of those, I forget what the heck they're called, where you sit on it. It's like the wood block to like drums.
Yeah.
I know that has like an actual name, but I forget what it is.
Yeah, I have no idea.
But like, it's very interesting to see a band sort of takes a song that exists and like strip it down, do it differently, and then to add this sort of, for lack of a better word, gimmick of like, we're gonna do this in these random places that we visit, I think is really cool. And I think we got a lot of really cool versions of existing songs out of this. Like, I've already said my favorite song by this band and one of my favorite songs in general is Camp Adventure. This reimagined version of Camp Adventure is my favorite version of that song.
Yeah, that version is really cool. And I think, like, the fact that I didn't know that they didn't, like, have, like, a, you know, a crazy setup for recording, because I feel like the quality for all of the songs on this album is also, like, still really good, despite having limited, you know, limited technology to do recording.
Yeah, it's so, like, really cool, because you can literally watch the videos where they're doing it. Like, the videos exist out there on YouTube, and you can literally watch each one, and it is them recording it, but they're also filming it. And some of them, they might have a little bit more equipment than others, but literally the one in the Camp Adventure one, they're just on this bridge over an overpass in Japan, like, with very, very minimal, like... Like, it's just really cool. It's really cool.
I'll need to watch that. That sounds
You really definitely cool. should. You definitely should. Like, and the video for Three Ghosts, which is the shortest song that they reimagine, but they make the video a little bit longer, is one of the most emotional, like, videos I think I've watched, like, in general. Like, that, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, like, there's that meme out there where it's like, you know, your man cried or whatever, and then it, like, didn't cry for this, but then cried for this, and it shows, like, just randomly inputs the thing into the meme. I don't remember exactly what it is, but, like, this is one of those things where it's like, it's a little bit of a tearjerker. And that song is very powerful, but I don't think people fully realize how powerful the song is until they watch the video. So definitely worth watching. Three Ghosts.
Yeah. Speaking of that, we kind of passed up the EP, the Younger Years.
Oh yeah.
EP. I don't know.
Three Ghosts is real good.
Yeah, I didn't know if we wanted to, like, because I know sometimes, like, with the EP, since yeah. it's fewer songs, like, we don't always include them on the spotlights, but.
Yeah, I mean, the Younger Years EP for me was just, like, almost a continuation, of, like, Ghost City, but maybe, like, not as sort of impactful to me, minus the song Three Ghosts, which I think is really powerful. I think that Younger Years EP is where they sort of established their own, I don't know if it was that or if it was after that, where they branched off from Big Scary Monsters or whoever their original label was and started their own label to self-produce. I don't remember if they self-produced Younger Years or if it wasn't until Soft Sounds and Spring Island that they split off, but they established Sofa Boy Records, which is actually a song on Younger Years.
Yeah.
So they do self-produce their records now, but yeah, I mean the Younger Years is a really good song. Three Ghosts, though, I mean, I'm just going to keep coming back to that. If you experience nothing else off that record, that's the powerful song, and I would highly recommend checking out the Soft Sounds version and just watching that video, because it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, this EP is admittedly one that I, like, haven't given as much listen to as I have all the, like, their full-length albums, but I do like Sofa Boy and Three Ghosts.
Yeah, it's definitely a gap. It's a gap for me as well, because I haven't spent as much time with that as I have with. And I think, like, that came out, and then Soft Sounds came out not that long after. And I really enjoy Soft Sounds a lot.
Yeah, it's a really cool album. I just love the whole, like, meta concept.
Yeah,
it's like, it's not concept in the content of the lyrics, but it's concept in that, like, every song is, you know, redone with minimal equipment, and, like,
it's a cool shtick.
Yeah,
I really like it. And I'm not, like, the type of person that usually gravitates towards, like, I don't know if you would consider this a quote unquote live album, but it kind of is, because that's what they're doing. They're just recording it live. Like, you know, I don't usually gravitate towards, like, live albums, live versions of songs that already exist, whatever. But I really, really enjoyed that record. And then we also got a single off of that record that was a unreleased song. And that's, like, a, you know, the full studio recording type situation. where they all recorded their parts from quarantine. So it's like they all live in different countries or parts of countries or parts of a country. I don't remember. I think they're all over the place where those guys are from. And I think that was a cool concept. It was a song about quarantine recorded in quarantine, like separate. And it's cool because there's a video for it and they're all recording their parts like in their own separate sort of quarantine zones. Very cool concept, very good song. Definitely one that I probably don't listen to enough because it is very good.
I need to give that album more love. I mean, I've definitely listened to it, but I need to kind of give it more of its fair share.
Yeah, and then sort of transitioning into an album that I think quickly became my favorite Delta Sleep album. And for a while, I like had this internal struggle of like, that can't be your favorite Delta. Like, that can't be your favorite. It's the newest. It can't be your favorite. Because there's just this sort of stigma around, like, you know, whenever the new record comes out and all, that's because there are people out there in certain fandoms that like, as soon as the new record comes out, this is their best one. And I know that's always the intent from an artist, but that's rarely the truth. Like, that's rarely what actually happens. I don't think Coheed and Cambria will ever make a better record than Good Apollo 1. I don't think, see, Between the Buried and Me, I go back and forth. I was going to say, I don't know if Between the Buried and Me will ever make another Colors. Colors 2 was not the same as Colors 1. I do have internal battles between like Great Misdirect and Parallax 2. So it's like, whatever. But you know what I mean? Like, but you know, new records that they've put out have not equaled those three records. So it's like when Spring Island came out and I liked it as much as I did, and I was like, this might be my favorite Delta Sleep record. I was like, it's just recency bias. It's just this, that, you know. Try to talk myself out of it. But every song on this record, like in the flow of this record, like even the interludes on this record are like some of the most memorable moments on this record.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy.
There's really not a like skip song. Like, I mean, I don't think there's really a skip song on any of their albums, but I think like in particular, like this album is like front to back, no dull moments, like every song hits and flows into the next one. And like the track placement is perfect. It is,
a well composed masterpiece. 100%. It's wild to me. I mean, this is them settling into their sound, right? I feel like they've discovered what their sound was going to be on Ghost City. You know, they sort of finally refined. They got that diamond out of the rough, and I feel like they put it into a really beautiful set piece with Spring Island. Like, yeah. I just don't.
It's like they hit their stride with, like, we know what our sound is now, and now we've been able to, like, practice it, and here's the product of us practicing it.
And they still bring some of that edge here and there, like mixed in, which is what you like to see. I mean, you know, the Softest Touch has some like decently heavy-ish parts, but they never really fully go back to that like raw, heavy sort of sound that you get from like Management and Twin Galaxies. It's very much this refined prog rock, like modern rock, math rock, alt rock, like sound that they've cultivated.
Yeah.
And I just can't get enough of it, to be honest. I think 2 years, 3 years in a row now, this record came out, what, 2021? This was my album of the year, 2021. Since then, I think Delta Sleep's been one of my most listened to, if not my most listened to band at the end of the year, like on the like Spotify Wrapped thing.
Yeah.
And either a song from this record or this record has been in like my top five like records, or and Delta Sleep's been like top two, top three, most listened to, if not my most listened to. The only thing that I think threw the curve off was how good that Sleep Token record was. that kind of dominated a little bit this year, but Delta Sleep, I think, was number two behind Sleep Token. So that says a lot, having not released a record since 2021.
Yeah, it is. It is just like one of those albums too, that it's like, it works for, it's like more versatile in like the mood that you're in. Like, you know, sometimes it's just like, oh, I really want to listen to some like heavy music, but sometimes you don't feel like that. And I don't know, I feel like this album is just so perfect, and just like, you can listen to it whenever. It's like, you know, there's some like very upbeat stuff that is sort of like hype you up if you want, you know, like before you need some like a pick me up, but also it can be like a, you know, we said earlier, like a porch drinking, just like hanging out, chilling kind of like background music. Like you could even, you know, if you want to like settle in for an evening, it's like unwind and get ready for bed, you can find that in here too. It's like,
I wish, like, I wish there was a term, like a phrase for like dad rock that's not dad rock. Like I feel like I could show this music to my dad, like songs like Old Soul and The Detail. Like, I feel like I could show that stuff to my dad and he would enjoy it. But like, it's more complex than that. So it's like, I don't want to just sit here and say like, this is like easy listening rock music, which is usually what defines dad rock. But it's like, it's more complex than that. Why, you know, it tickles that sort of complex, scratches that complexity itch that like a lot of prog heads need in their music while achieving accessibility. And I think that's like,
yeah,
really unique. And you know, if you want a song, you know, if you want songs to get you in your feels, like Forest Fire, Into the Softest Touch is one of the best moments on that record. But then, you know, a song like Old Soul is very much like something that you could hear on the radio, in my opinion. It's interesting, you know, then like Softest Touch even has a little bit of that edge at the end, towards the end of it. And Hotel 24 also has a little bit of like an edge in it, and that's a good song. And yeah, I mean, it's them perfecting the sound that they tried to cultivate or started to cultivate throughout their discography, and achieving something that few bands, like the Deer Hunter is one of them that sticks out, like a band that achieves maintaining a complexity to their sound while achieving accessibility. And yeah, like, I feel like that's such a rarity.
It's hard to make both of those things happen, because usually with the complexity comes like, what is this noise? Like, people just feel like the odd time signatures are like off-putting, and it like,
that's why so many people shit on jazz, right? That's why so many people shit on like stuff like that, where it's like, oh, jazz is just a jumbled up, you know, noise. And you know, like prog and math rock very much derive from a lot of jazz influence and a lot of sort of jazz.
Yeah, there's a lot of crossover with like musical influences and stuff there.
So like, when a band can do stuff like that and have, you know, have a drum fill that completely takes you out of the rhythm that you were nodding your head into, you know, and it's like, but like, and still not be like, oh, what is this? Oh, he messed up or something like that. Like, it's interesting. And I think a great achievement to be able to do that and maintain accessibility, maintain the fact that I can put this album on at the beach with my family and have nobody be like, what is that? Turn that off. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, their music, just like their catalog just as a whole is fantastic, but it is wild to, you know, have that like, oh, their most recent album is their best. And like, you know, that is not a common thing. I feel like a lot of times, instead of bands like sort of refining their sound and getting better and like perfecting it, a lot of times bands try to get experimental and do something different. And like, when they do that, then it's like, oh, well, I don't like this. And you're like, just keep experimenting with different stuff and it's not working, instead of like doing the thing that you did well and just making it better. But I feel like Delta Sleep has done, like, they've found what worked and they've polished it into this shiny masterpiece of an album.
And I'd be real interested to know, like, and if anybody's listening to this and has been a fan since Management, please, like, throw something in the comments on the thumbnail for this episode. Because I'm curious, how do you feel, like, as a fan from day one, how do you feel about the evolution of their sound? Because I would be curious, because we, you and I, having discovered them with Ghost City, deem Spring Island as a masterpiece. I would be curious if... like OG Delta Sleep fans feel the same.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, people who are Between the Buried and Me fans, and I'm just going to keep bringing random bands into this because that's just how I draw parallels. But, like, people who are Between the Buried and Me fans who started from, like, either, like, the self-titled or Silent Circus or even Alaska usually don't hold, like, an album like Coma Ecliptic in very high regard because it was such a departure from the deathcore type sound that they cultivated on those first three records. So a lot of people who started from day one with Between the Buried and Me sort of stop almost sometimes at Alaska. Like, they don't even, like, covet Colors as much as a lot of the progressive metal scene does. I feel like maybe they do still, but, like, but regardless, I feel like they don't hold Coma Ecliptic in very high regard, where people who have, who came in around Colors, Great Misdirect era, think that that's a, you know, a really, really well-written record, which it is. So, like, I would be curious if this is, like, a sort of a similar situation, a similar scenario where it's like, you know, if you were here from day one and with how different, you know, their sound is between, you know, if you skip everything in the middle, like, you blow up the bridge between the two records, and you just listen to Management side by side with Spring Island, they're very different albums.
Yeah.
So, like, I would be really interested to know what, like, an OG Delta Sleep fan feels, how they feel.
If they, you know, if they hate Spring Island.
Or, right.
Or maybe just, like, don't like it as much.
And, or just, like, feel different about it. Maybe don't, you know, hold it in as high regard. Maybe they're like, this is fine. But, like, you know, we hold it in very high regard. Like, this is my, one of my favorite records, period, in the last, like, decade.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd be real interested to know how other people feel, how original, you know, OG Delta Sleep fans feel about their progression, and then, like, how they would, you know, how they would rate an album like Spring Island versus an album like Management or even Twin Galaxies.
Yeah, I'm curious too. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if any of our listeners are OG, you know, Management followers of Delta Sleep.
I mean, but, you know, maybe we'll pick up some new listeners whenever we throw this out there as, you know, Artist Spotlight Delta Sleep. So even if you're a new listener, first of all, welcome. Second of all, tell us, you know, how you feel about these records in comparison. Because I have a sneaking suspicion that it's probably something similar. Like, it probably is similar to, you know, how Coheed fans who came in around the Vaxxis timeline or the Color Before the Sun timeline don't feel as strongly about Second Stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then people who have been around since Second Stage don't feel very strongly about Color Before the Sun. You know what I mean? So it's like, I'd be really intrigued to know
when you come in, what your thought is.
Because, again, this is very, our opinions are very skewed just because we discovered them with Ghost City, and that was, you know, the type of music we were listening to at the time, to, like, so we really gravitated towards that sound. But yeah, I don't know. I think that kind of sort of wraps it up. I mean, we've seen them live a couple times. We can probably touch on that a little bit, maybe real quick. I think one of the coolest live experiences we've had, or I've had, was seeing them at Hard Rock and being, like, at a table literally right next to the stage, and, like, could reach out and touch them if we really wanted to. And
there was a mosh pit for Camp Adventure.
Yeah, there was a mosh pit for Camp Adventure, which was real cool. I think they even came out afterwards and were like, I think this is the first time there's ever been a mosh pit for Camp Adventure. But the guys were like really cool, hung out. We got to chat with them a bit.
Yeah, that was
Blake, fun. The drummer, hung out at our table for a little while, like whenever the opening bands were playing, and like we bullshitted with him. Got to ask him some questions about. That's how we found out, you know, a lot of those guys listened to like, you know, rap, R&B, pop, stuff like that. And,
yeah. Yeah, that was a fun evening.
But yeah, I mean, overall, if you have an opportunity to see these guys live, definitely do it. It's a fun show. A lot of energy from those guys. You can tell they love what they do.
Yeah, they actually there's a tour.
Yeah, that's right.
Coming up soon. Like May, I think.
They'll be back through the U.S. I don't remember who they're with, but I do know that I won't be able to go.
Is that when you're on vacation?
Yeah, it's I forget which trip that is scheduled around, but it might be in June when I'm going to be at the beach.
Oh, okay.
Probably listening to Delta Sleep, since that's kind of probably listening to Ghost City, since that's what I associate that record with, is just outdoor chilling. But yeah, definitely catch these guys live if you have the opportunity to. Definitely check these guys out, you know, just their discography if you haven't. Highly recommend checking out that you know, Management versus Spring Island, just to see how different, how far they've come. And
yeah, if you're listening to our podcast and you haven't listened to Delta Sleep yet, try listening to it starting with Management first.
Yeah.
So you could be the experiment and you could tell us what your thoughts are.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a good little exercise for science. But yeah, quickly became one of our favorite bands. Is I think going to stand the test of time. That Spring Island record is incredible.
I'm probably going to listen to it after we're done here.
Same, honestly. And I got to do a little bit of cleaning up downstairs, and I think that's going to be the soundtrack for that.
There you go.
Although I don't want it to become associated with cleaning, so maybe I'll with chores. So. Ghost City is the soundtrack to my summer, and Spring Island becomes the soundtrack of my suffering. but yeah, definitely check out Delta Sleep. These guys are incredible. Huge fans. Let us know what you think in the comments of any of the posts around this episode. I think the next one we're going to do is going to be after the burial, just because I got called out and I feel the need to do it. So
you need to defend yourself.
Hey, I'm going to go into it with an open mind. I'm definitely going to approach it. I'm going to fully rate all the albums using my tried and true method of rating and see what comes out on top. And while I expect it to be in Dreams, just because that was my favorite record, I like Rare Form a lot.
Rare Form is good.
So I wouldn't be surprised if that snuck up, and I don't know. I it'll be nice to revisit some of their newer stuff, like that Wolves. Is it Wolves Within or something? EP, whatever that EP is. Am I thinking of something different? They have an EP with like a wolf on the cover.
I think that's a full album.
Is it really?
I thought
it was an EP. And then they have like that Evergreen record, which I didn't vibe with that much, but I also didn't give much of a chance.
Yeah, Wolves Within is a 9-song, 41-minute.
Well, shit. All right, full rest. See, that shows how much I've taken it. And then like Dig Deep, I didn't vibe with all that much either. Like, but it'll be cool to revisit some of that stuff and give it a better chance. So
yeah,
That's gonna be our next artist spotlight.
To After the Burial.
Hey, that's what we do here. You know, we're very.
We're all over the place in our
music. We're very all over the place. So keep an eye out for that. Well, we're trying to keep the content rolling. So hopefully you'll be hearing from us a lot sooner and a lot more frequently than you're used to. So stay tuned. And as always, thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Thanks.